Hi, Stacey Elise, compulsive overeater. And I actually, so I have been in OA. Well, I went to my first meeting when I was 8 years old. I'm 49. My mom brought me with her. I was very disappointed there weren't snacks. My mom never stayed in the rooms, although I have her hardback for today, with her name written in the front. I grew up being told I was fat. My top weight was 300 pounds. I had a therapist when I was 25 telling me to come back to OA. And I was an OA tourist. Anything I say is my own experience and a lot of stuff I heard from other people. So I was an OA tourist. I was in and out of the rooms until I went to eating disorder treatment when I was 32, I think. And they made you go to three meetings a week. I still wanted to do it by myself, though. I got the sponsor for 5 minutes because this treatment center said you had to. And then when I was 34, I was in my first job out of grad school. I was a workaholic. I was lonely. I had no friends. If I wasn't 300 pounds, I was in the high 200s. And I went back to OA. I was living in Los Angeles, which has really strong meetings. And I got it. So I started going to meetings when I was 34. I heard a speaker who was very inspirational, and I called him and I was telling him my problems. And he says, those aren't your problems. Your problem is you're 34 years old and you can't stop eating. And that was true. So I've been in OA since then. So that's 15 years. And got abstinent. The lowest weight I've ever gotten and maintained in program was like 170 pounds. And apparently I'm 5'4". I always thought I was 5'6". So I maintained that for about 5 years, was abstinent, did service, and then I had a relationship that didn't work out. That led me to depression. And when I first came in and started really working the program, I was depressed, and I was. But there was a really long list for the doctor, and we're told in programs we can seek outside help. I mean, the weight loss surgery is outside help. So I did, but by the time my appointment came up 3 months later and I would have 3 months of abstinence, the So anyway, so I relapsed. I broke my leg. I moved to another state. And I spent probably about a year in relapse, gained up to my top weight, which is 300 plus pounds. Had a doctor, tell me if I didn't lose weight that I'd have all these bad ailments. So I never knew how to lose weight. The only time I ever lost and maintained weight was working a program. So even though I'd like come in and out for that year of relapse, I went to a meeting every day, at least one meeting, sometimes two. This is before Zoom. And one day, like I think I had 30 days or 60 days of abstinence, and I wanted that chip, man. I wanted that chip for my 30 days or whatever. And I go to the meeting and no one showed up. And I call an OA friend and she's like, "Well, this is your opportunity to go to any lengths." So then I went to another meeting that night so I could get my chip. So that's kind of my evolution in OA. And you know, that abstinence, actually, it was 7 years on the 20th.
10 minutes left.
You, but I never could get down lower than 220 pounds this time. And I've been of service. I've gone to World Service. I've been a committee chair. I've been a region committee. I've done tons of service. And I've spoken, but you know, I size extra large, and I have bad osteoarthritis in my low back. And 2 years ago, and now and again, it was suggested weight loss surgery. And I was like, no, I'm in OA. I'm working a program, you know. And there are some. I was at World Service when the statement that OA has no opinions on outside issues, including weight loss surgery, when that was voted in. And I felt compelled to vote. And so I'm just going to fast forward a little bit. And so I 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I knew women in the fellowship, actually, a lot that have had it. I was very unfortunate. I have great insurance. I have great everything, like as crappy as it is, everything lined up for me to get treatment and reconstruction. Although, you know, I had to work through that because I was like, look, I'm a size, you know, 20. Why should I get fake boobs, you know? So like all of that. But I also, on the other hand, I've worked the steps, I had a sponsor, I had people in the fellowship. So I made my medical decisions, and I ended up having four surgeries. And at the end of that, or after the last surgery, because I'm really supposed to get another one. But I was like, why have I gone through all of this to not die of cancer? And I can't walk for more than 5 minutes. I can't stand for that long because I was in so much pain. But the doctor would not do a back surgery unless I got to 180 pounds, which I haven't been able to do. And, you know, so I have followed a plan of eating, like I said, 7 years. And I started exploring because of this program, because I did service with people who had weight loss surgery, most before they came to OA, but some after. I made the decision to have gastric sleeve surgery because I thought, why did I survive cancer to not have a good quality of life? So I started exploring that in March of this year, well, April. And so I went. The place I went here because of my medication, we decided gastric sleeve would be the better with my oncologist and stuff. And then I had the surgery August 30th, and I have, you know, there some people have very strong opinions. I think I probably did too. Again, you know, the big book talks about contempt prior to investigation. And the thing is, the surgery will change our plumbing, but it won't change our head. What was frustrating to me, having been in program for so long, having worked the steps, having been of service and all that, and following a plan of eating, was that I could not get to a healthy body weight doing all of this. And, you know, some folks may find this controversial. And you know, it's not their life, it's not their back, it's between me and my higher power. I believe that my higher power has put these outside interventions in place, you know, for a reason. So and man, I was on a meeting after I had the surgery, I think, So in the last 3 weeks, and someone came on to talk about how they had lost hundreds of pounds without the surgery and how bad the surgery was. And it's like, look, most of the people in these meetings found a way after they had the surgery. So we can't reverse it. And those of us who've made the decision have been very thoughtful. I think everybody's been pretty thoughtful about it. So it's really unkind. You know, there's three things. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary before I speak? So I need to evaluate whether that's all. If it meets the three criterion, then I talk. And if not, it's my opinion and who cares? So I had the surgery. I don't know. I guess it'll be 4 weeks ago on Monday. I've had some interesting things happen. I've reached out to many of you. I've been coming to these specific weight loss meetings. And I'm really hopeful that, you know, I'll get to a healthy body weight, you know. But I'm not like super out because I know that people are going to have judgments. And I told someone and they were like, do you even qualify for the surgery? Like, were you heavy enough? And I was like, I was barely heavy enough. They told me not to lose weight. I didn't have to do a pre-op diet and people kept talking about it. And I was like, oh, this is how I've eaten for the last 7 years. I had 7 years of a pre-op diet. So, you know, we'll see. I'm just coming to, you know, a meeting a day, and I'm coming sometimes two meetings a day. This is my second meeting today because I want to go to the weight loss surgery ones to hear different people's experience, strength, and hope around that. I've had zero issues following the plan of eating. I mean, I'm not hungry. I have no, you know, I'm trying to get all the food in. That's the challenge right now. Not because of psychologically, just physically. So let's see. I'm just really grateful for this program. I would not have made this decision without having been in program for so long and having worked a program because I don't know how I could do this otherwise. It's, you know, the program changed my brain a long time ago and I just needed some additional outside help. And I'm really hopeful that this is going to alleviate my back pain. I'm sorry because I'm speaking impromptu. I like to prepare really anything. So I hope that something I've said has sparked. If you're new or struggling, I went to at least a meeting a day, if not more, to get abstinent. B, get a sponsor. You can always find another sponsor. Get a sponsor, you know. I didn't want to tell anybody what I ate. I'd rather tell you about my last OB-GYN appointment. Get a sponsor, talk about your food. These things have been really helpful to me. Make outreach calls, take outreach calls. For me, you know, we have the tools of the program, the 9 tools. If I'm being vague, secretive, or spontaneous, I call those my tools of my disease. I need to be specific. I need to plan and I need to tell someone else. So I guess I'm probably approaching 1 minute here. So I'm really grateful that we have these meetings. I'm grateful for Zoom. Now I can ask people when strange things are happening to my body, if they've heard of it and, you know, whatnot. But
1 minute.
I just want to say thank you. That this program works and it can lead to being happy, joyous, and free. And we don't know what good news looks like. We don't know what the future holds. So, you know, for me, working the steps, writing, talking to my sponsor and others has helped guide me towards having a better quality of life, better relationships. Oh, I met my husband because I was abstinent and listened to the universe. So there's all sorts of great things by being in program, being abstinent, being of service. And with that, I pass.